CTV.
Well, folks, I apologize. I did not know I was a home wrecker. I'm trying to preserve homes. Found out today I'm a bit of a home wrecker. One brother likes to watch MZTV with his wife in the morning, and they discuss these teachings, and he always tells me about it, and I always feel good about it. Well, I find out that she says, I am so tired of hearing about this Clyde Pilkington stuff. Just tell me when it's over. You're going to have to watch by yourself. I can't take it anymore. Let me know when it's over, and I'll rejoin you. And this was said to me, and I really felt bad about it, actually. At first, I kind of rose up and said, I'm just doing my job. I have to do my job, which is true. And I'm still going to do my job. But I couldn't help thinking it over again. And it's like, yeah, I know. I'm hammering it. I have to complete what I started. And I'm going to. I may put it in the fast lane a little bit. But I did tell him. I said, please tell your wife that I won't mention the name of Clyde Pilkington again. I said, from now on, I will refer to him as Claude Parkington. I thought that was a decent concession. And so, from now on, it'll be Claude Parkington. I understand people getting tired of it, but it has to be done. And a brother shared with me a verse we're all familiar with, and it's 2 Timothy 4:2. And I have some insight into this that I didn't have before. This happens every time. Every time these strange teachings come up, we look into them together. I look deeper than I've ever looked before. And I look at a passage, read a passage I've read hundreds of times before, and I see something different. This is a case with 2 Timothy 4:2. And before I complete the circle here with the widows, talking about bad marriage advice, I want to share this with you. And I am going to finish up by Friday, even if I have to do an hour show on Friday. But I'm going to try to just abbreviate it, hit the high points, and then get out of this town for a while, because it is exhausting. But I do take encouragement from Paul's exhortation to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's start with verse 1 to get the whole context. I am conjuring you in the sight of God in Christ Jesus, who is about to be judging the living and the dead. About to be. About to be. I just now saw this. This has nothing to do with what I was going to say, but look at this. About to be. The chiefs of this aeon are being discarded. The era is being wrapped up. This is a present mindset. This is not a mindset that, even though the return of Christ, just speaking completely theoretically here for the sake of the argument, could be hundreds, thousands, millions of years away, Jesus Christ is still about to be judging the living and the dead. This is our Apostle Paul speaking. And Mr. Parkington might very well have said, well, Paul thought that Christ was going to return in 1 Corinthians, and so he gave this bad marriage advice. It's not the same marriage advice he would give today, you know, told everybody to stay single because the tribulation's coming. Who wants to be married during the tribulation? I'd rather be married during the tribulation. You know, you could be having sex while the sun is going dark, or while the hailstones are coming down, or something. You have comfort. You could just be playing Monopoly with your wife, or Sorry, or just hugging each other would be a good thing to do during the tribulation. But anyway, and that Paul didn't, when that era came and went, Paul got a reality check. So I guess Christ is not coming. He's not going to be snatching us away anytime soon. He's not going to be judging the living and the dead. And that actually comes after the snatching away. Snatching away comes before the tribulation even starts, judging the living and the dead. Well, the dead, let's just go with them right now. That doesn't happen till the great white throne judgment, after the thousand-year kingdom has run its course. And yet here is Paul in his last letter, without dispute. This is the last letter Paul wrote. And what is he saying here? I am conjuring you in the sight of God and Christ Jesus, who is about to be judging the living and the dead. That's the mindset right there. He's about to be doing it. He's about to be judging the living and the dead. It doesn't matter if it's a million years away or tomorrow or this afternoon. He's about to be judging the living and the dead. He's about to be returning. You see, he's about to be snatching us away. The chiefs of this eon are now being discarded. Well, I don't see them being discarded. It looks like they're riding high. They are being discarded. That's the mindset. That's how we're to see it. That's the kind of vision we're supposed to have of these things. The era is being wrapped up. The fashion of this world is passing by. That's how you survive any era. I believe we are the ones who will not die. But even those who lived 1,000 years ago in the body of Christ, they thought this same thing. Paul thought it. And at the end, the very end of his life, about to be judging the living and the dead. My God, Paul. I mean, he's going to be judging some of the living when he returns and sets up shop in the Valley of Jehoshaphat, famous judgment of the nations in Matthew 25. Okay, but judging the dead? And even if Paul is talking about the former resurrection, the dead who rise, God's not, Jesus and God, neither one of them are going to be judging them because they're saints. They don't come into judgment. I'm telling you, this is the current mindset that we have. Okay, to be having, see, having, ongoing. I just love this. Wasn't even planning on that. Didn't even see it until I started reading it. I'm conjuring you in the sight of God and Christ Jesus, who is about to be judging the living and the dead, in accord with his advent. In agreement. Down with, Greek here, kata, down with, in accord with his advent, his coming, his appearance. His advent could be, is any advent. But the one we're looking forward to is the one that Paul announced way back when in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 Corinthians 15. And here he is, 2 Timothy, his last letter, in accord with his advent. In the sight, I'm conjuring you, Paul, to Timothy, in the sight of God and Christ Jesus, who are now looking at me, watching me, inspiring my pen as I write. This is scripture. Who is about to be judging the living and the dead in accord, in agreement with his advent and his kingdom. Verse 2. You never thought I'd get out of verse 1, neither did I. Okay, verse 2. Herald the word. Stand by it. Opportunely, inopportunely, expose, rebuke, entreat with all patience and teaching. I pointed this out many times. The first two elements of evangelism are negative, expose and rebuke. You can't entreat until you expose the error and rebuke the error bringer. Exposing is part of heralding the word. I told my friend, I said, it's not like I'm exposing and rebuking and then for 2 weeks and then, okay, I'm going to entreat at the end of this week or at the end of this month, when I finally get done exposing and rebuking, I'm going to entreat. No, I won't do that to you. You're my friends, my loved ones. I entreat as I go. Expose, rebuke, entreat. Expose, rebuke, entreat. Dun, dun. It's like a waltz. Expose, bam, bam. Expose, rebuke, entreat. Expose, rebuke, entreat. Expose, rebuke. It's all part of a dance. I don't keep it till the end. This is why I say hang in there with me. Even though you're sick of this, and I'm sick of it, and I don't want to name Claude Parkington's name again, but I'm, you know, but every single show I've done on this topic, there's been some juicy thing, some entreaty that has strengthened me, that has made me more sure than ever of my expectation, more adamant than ever to protect what we have, the words that we've been given, Paul's gospel. To not fear death. To realize that the chiefs of this world are passing by. To realize that holding loosely to everything is a timeless exhortation. All right, speaking of that, expose, rebuke, and treat. Expose, rebuke, and treat with all patience and teaching. All patience, all teaching. If you be patient with me, I'll be patient with you. My friend's wife is not patient with me. That's okay. I understand. Women are not too keen on this exposure and rebuke business. They would just like you to entreat. Just entreat us. Must you expose and rebuke? Yes, I must. In fact, it is my charge from Paul. I'm going to go back here to... No, I'm not. No, I'm going to move on. Here's verse 3. Look at this now. For the era will be... Paul is predicting our era. The era will be when they will not tolerate sound teaching. Wait a minute, Paul. Didn't that happen in your era? The era will be when they will not tolerate sound teaching. You experience that all the time. No, Paul is saying that just like he does in chapter 3 of this same letter, in the last days, perilous periods will be present. Paul, didn't you have perilous periods in your time? Paul said, yeah, but they're nothing compared to what you people are going to have. Paul, didn't you live in the era when they would not tolerate sound teaching? Paul says, yeah, but it's nothing compared to the era you're going to live in. And here's what I wasn't seeing before. The era will be when they will not tolerate sound teaching. Not tolerate sound teaching, but their hearing being tickled, they will heap up for themselves teachers in accord with their own desires. And indeed, they will be turning their hearing away from the truth, yet will be turned aside to myths. Yet you, and I take this charge to myself. I feel like this is Paul telling me, you, Zender, listen, Zender, be sober in all things. Suffer evil as an ideal soldier of Christ Jesus. Do the work of an evangelist. Fully discharge your service. Yes, sir. And I say that, and I salute Paul. Not a hint of levity or joking here at all. I take this charge very seriously. And I risked my family and my happiness when I heard this charge back in 1993, and I told my family, come with me, especially my wife, obviously, come with me. Because this is what I heard, this is what I heard. And we're living in the era when they will not tolerate. It's an interesting word. I never considered the great import here, but anakome is the Greek word here. The elements are up have. Well, let me tell you that in the Concordant version, this was also translated bear with. To have it, to take it up, to bear with it, to tolerate it, as it's translated here. Matthew 17:17, our Lord says, O generation, unbelieving and perverse, till when shall I bear with you? That's a negative thing. It was all Jesus could do every day to bear with those stubborn, perverse, unbelieving people, that generation he came to. And I find today, in the body of Christ, that it is very difficult for people to tolerate, to bear with, to endure sound teaching, solid teaching, because that teaching, here's the problem with it, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't change. Everybody wants to hear something new, and this is where we come down to. They will not tolerate sound teaching. They won't put up with it. They won't uphave it. They won't bear with it for very long because they'll become bored with it. They'll become tired of it. But their hearing being tickled, it's that needs something new. Needs something new. Got to hear something fresh, something exciting, something different. And I think that Body of Christ members through the last 2,000 years have probably wanted to be mavericks, wanted to come up with some new fancy teaching that will excite people, because only the hardcores will stay with the sound teaching. Only hardcores will not become bored with the same information over and over again, albeit in a new light over here with different shadows, over there with a different spotlight, over here with emphasizing a certain word there, a couple new insights into the same truth. I try to make this as interesting as I can. I don't try to be funny. I just am. The humor helps. Like Mary Poppins said, a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. I do what I can. But for 30 years, this has been... I can't look at it this way. This is not how I think about it, but I know some people do. This has been boring. I don't think about it that way. This is electric. I think most of you, all of you, will agree with me. This truth, even though we've heard it a million times, this is electric. I hear that in your comments. I gave a message like I did yesterday, and I'm rehashing some things, and I'm thinking, some of this stuff's kind of repetitive. But you don't think so. To you, it's still electric. It still vibrates with the power of God. That's what it does to me. It's amazing. I don't know how it keeps doing that, but it does. It keeps vibrating with the power of God. It's new every day. But see, most people don't tolerate that. They don't want to hear that bump drum beat over and over again. Even though, being a drummer in the past, I have made money playing the drums. I used to be a member of the Musicians Union. Back in the day, I played with a few dance bands, played wedding receptions, played some clubs like the Eagles Club, the Elks Club, the Moose Club. I played for the Moose Club. Even though there's that steady drum beat of the truth, I can put fills in there. See, that's not necessary. That little thing on the side, you see, I just altered it a little bit. It's not necessary, but... See? Little rock beat there. It's the same beat. Don't. Yeah? Just a little... Right at 10. And there. Try to make it interesting. Anyway, they're hearing being tickled. They will heap up for themselves teachers in accord with their own desires. I think that's what we've been seeing here for 2 weeks. Teachers in accord with their own desires. The desire... to stay on earth again. Here I go again. The desire to stay on earth. The desire to have a wife, to take a wife, to have children, to just leave me alone, let me live my life. That's a soulish desire. It's an earthly desire. And those who have that desire, they want their hearing tickled, and they will heap up for themselves teachers who accommodate that desire. In this case, it's this. I want to live a long life. Keep that snatching away from me. Leave me alone. I'll die a natural death. Thank you very much. And so here comes Charles Welch along with a teaching that will allow people who want it to happen to eliminate 1 Corinthians and 1 Thessalonians, where the snatching away is, eliminate that from the letters that are applicable to us today. Isn't that convenient? That's heaping up teachers in accord with your own desire. And of course, Otis Sellers with his premillennial kingdom, same thing. Heaping up teachers in accord with your own desires, wanting the hearing tickled. And yet, here we are. Same drum beat. And this is the thing. This is the same drum beat Paul played, and Timothy, and Enoch, and anyone down through the ages who wants to get the truth right and not depart from it in order to please people. We all want to please people, but I can do it by this. I can do it by doing this. Okay, that was a little too much, that last part, I gotta admit. Sorry about that. And indeed, they will be turning their hearing away from truth. You will be turned aside to myths. What we've been talking about is a myth. Acts 28 is a myth. As Sylvester would say, Acts 28 is a complete myth. But Sylvester would have been a great teacher in the body of Christ. Don't be turned aside to myths. Acts 28. Pooey. No good. They're turning aside to myths, though. That's what's happening. That's not the only thing, of course. We have, my friend Dan Sheridan went to open theism. He couldn't handle that steady drumbeat anymore, that God was in control of everything good and evil. Everything good and evil. He broke. He cracked. Couldn't take it anymore. Couldn't tolerate sound teaching. Couldn't bear with it one more moment. He needed something new. He couldn't stand the fact that God was doing everything, always, all the time. It's just so terribly boring that God is the sovereign of the universe. And so departed the faith, heaped up a teacher in accord with his own desires, which was open theism. In other words, even God's waiting to find out with his creation what's going to happen next. Yeah, that's open theism. The future is open. God doesn't dictate the future. That's God dictating the future. We can't take that anymore. We're not going to tolerate that. And they won't tolerate sound teaching. And this is the era where that happens. And again and again. Oh, this too. I thought of this. When Christ called Paul, he didn't tell him to expose, rebuke, and entreat. No, because Paul was going to be teaching new things. He was going to teach justification and conciliation and the salvation of all. And the administration of the grace of God and all these things. How can he expose and rebuke anybody when he's the guy bringing it for the first time? Expose and rebuke was saved for Timothy, because Paul knew that when he left, the apostasy would set in. And part of the apostasy is the inability to bear with sound teaching, because you just can't take it anymore. I didn't notice. I got a real bass sound. Gotta break my microphone there. Okay, here we go. Are we still rolling? Okay, thank you. My producers are telling me, yes, we're still rolling. So, they will heap up for themselves. Teachers will be turned aside to myths. Yeah, turned aside to myths. Open theism is a myth. Acts 28 is a myth. The non-preexistence of Christ. Sorry, that's a complete myth. Just can't handle Christ doing everything, huh? Just can't handle that. Okay, well. Anyway. Verse 5, yet you be sober in all things, suffer evil as an ideal soldier of Christ, do the work of an evangelist, fully discharge your service. Listen to this, for I am already a libation, and the period of my dissolution is imminent. I have contended the ideal contest, I have finished my career, I have kept the faith. Furthermore, there is reserved for me the wreath of righteousness, which the Lord, the just judge, will be paying to me in that day, but also to all who love his advent. I never saw it. I read this verse many times to you before. We love his advent. We don't try to put off his advent. We don't grasp for teachings to have our ears tickled because we want to stay here to put off his advent. We're in love with his advent. We want to see him. But I hadn't considered that it was in this context of an era that will not tolerate sound teaching. And I believe that the sound teaching has to do with loving his advent. Look how Paul started here. Verse 1, I'm conjuring you in the sight of God in Christ Jesus, who is about to be judging the living and the dead in accord with his advent. Never saw this book ended before. 2 Timothy 4, 1, in accord with his advent. Paul starts with that, and then he says, the wreath of righteousness that the Lord, the just judge, will be paying to me in that day, yet not to me only, but also those who love his advent. And in the middle of the first advent and the last advent, you get this warning. Indeed, there will be some in the latter era who will be turning their hearing away from truth. You'll be turned aside to myths. And I wonder if some of that, much of it has to do with abandoning Paul and the desire to put off the advent of Christ, to put it off. To not love it. To want to stay on the Titanic. You got to believe, folks, it was so tempting to stay on the Titanic. Everybody told you, the ship's sinking, we hit the iceberg. Man the lifeboats, women and children first. It was hard to get in the lifeboats because they were 10 stories above the Atlantic Ocean. It was cold down there. The water was 33 degrees. Nobody drowned on the Titanic. They all froze to death. But the Titanic, at least for the first couple hours after the iceberg struck, or after they struck it, it was still warm on the Titanic. The lights stayed on, and the band played on. The band played on. Very tempting to stay there, but it was a false security. Anybody who's in love with this Eon because of the warmth, the lights, family, the happiness, the joy, the employment, business opportunities, your favorite TV series, the beach, the lake, your kid riding his bicycle for the first time. I hate to say this, but it's all false security. Because we're on the Titanic. And even the greatest joys of familyhood, and I love them as much as anyone else, when I think of my kids riding their bikes for the first time, I can get emotional. I'm just as pulled by that as anyone else. But no, I'm not. I'm actually not. I'm not pulled by that as much as anyone else because I have an expectation. And I know that as wonderful as it was for me to raise my kids today, hundreds, if not thousands of parents have lost their children to accident, to disease, to starvation. My world might have been wonderful and blessed, and it was, and I thank God for that. But it's not that way for everyone. There are parents today who are inconsolable because they've lost their children today. This is a sinking ship. I don't care how bright it looks, how happy it looks. The band might be playing on, but the band also is doomed. The band is going to die. And those instruments that those fine people played, God bless them for their bravery, are laying at the bottom of the Marianas Trench. That's where everything's going to go, folks, to the bottom of the trench. That's where it's all going. It's all going away. The fashion of this world is passing by. And the era is limited, that is being wrapped up. I think Paul, being under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, knew what he was talking about.